on these tours, we're not really looking at signs and wonders and prophecies and things like that. There's lots of different ways of looking at that. And it doesn't matter which way you look at it, there's all sorts of different ways. And I don't really want to get tied up in that, because different people have different opinions. I'm more concerned about what are we doing with our lives? How are we living our lives in the light of the return of the Lord Jesus? And that's the whole focus of the talk. We sang that song there, Jesus will come again. Jesus definitely will come again. And I quoted that scripture from John chapter 14. And that song puts it clearly. The countdown's getting lower every day. It used to be fantastic when we watched those spacecraft taking off for the moon. I remember watching the first one going off for the moon. And, you know, that sense of that countdown when it takes off is fantastic. But, you know, that is happening right now. I don't know what number we're at, because nobody knows the time, the date when Jesus is coming back again. But there's definitely a countdown for the return of the Lord Jesus. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it says this as well. And Jesus, one of the last things when he went up, it says this. He said to them, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses all over the world, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. The disciples were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who's been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way as you've seen him go into heaven. Jesus is coming back. He made that promise to his disciples. He said, look, don't get worried, don't get concerned. Let not your heart be troubled. I am coming back again. And obviously that message there from those two men to the disciples. But we don't know when, but we definitely know he's coming again. So how should we live in the light of his return? Is there anything we should be doing differently? How should we be behaving? Let's look at some verses in Colossians, if you've got your Bibles or your iPad or your tablet, whatever it is. Colossians chapter 3. Is this a bit loud, Peter, or is it just me getting an echo? I don't know. Am I sounding too loud? I'm okay. Good. Colossians chapter 3. You really need to read Colossians 2 as well to get it into context, but we can't do that at the moment. But Paul's been speaking there about our position in Christ, who we are in him. And it says this in chapter 3, the first verse. At the top of mine, it's got rules for holy living. And last week, David said we must live holy lives. Yeah? And it says this, since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds, as well as your heart and mind, set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived. But now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these. Anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other. Since you've taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy, did you know you were holy? Live a holy life, you are holy. Because Christ has made you holy. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, whichever binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. It goes on there with some rules for us individually, for husbands, wives, and families. I'm not really going into that at the moment. But as I was just preparing this passage and thinking about it, I just got those words, you know, ready, steady, go. On your marks, get set, go. Tabo's not here today, but I know he's into the athletics. And that's a very, very important part of racing, right? The start is the kick. If you don't start, you're left behind, right? If you go too quick, you're disqualified, yeah? We can't do that. But guys, we need to be ready. Jesus is coming back again, and we need to be ready. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Tomorrow might never come. There's a place prepared for you in heaven. For everybody in the world, there is a place being prepared. The sad thing is, a lot of those places are going to be empty. Yeah? Because those prepared places for people won't be filled, because people have not taken up the option to fill them. They're not ready, they're not in the place that God wants them to be. He used to say after we sang that song, somewhere in outer space, God has prepared a place. Is everybody going to heaven? And all the kids immediately say, yeah, we're all going. Yeah? The sad reality is we're not all going to heaven. I won't ask you to show your hands today if you think you're going to heaven. I hope we'd all put our hands up. But you know, if you ask anybody in the street about heaven, yeah, we're all going. If you read these obituary columns or people who've died, have you ever read any of those things? Some of the verses that people put, yeah. And it sometimes breaks my heart reading some of these things. Because it's really just nonsense. Because without that knowledge of Jesus as your Lord and Saviour, there's no place you're going to go which is going to be good after you die, yeah? There's heaven to go to and hell to avoid. So is everyone going to heaven? No. That song says it's for those who trust him and obey. So right now, get ready with Jesus. If you haven't already done it now, do it now, right in this instance. Get ready now. Invite him into your life and say, Jesus, I want you to be the centre of my life. I want a relationship with you. I've got lots of questions, lots of things I don't understand, but I know that I need to be ready for when you come back again. I need to be ready that if I don't see tomorrow, then I know where I'm going to go. Do you know that today? That you're going to go to heaven? If you don't, do it now. Be ready. For those of us who are Christians, those of us who are Christians, those of us who know Jesus, those who have asked him into our lives, then it's time for us to get set. Ready, get set. Yeah? Verse 2 in that verse in Colossians said, set your minds. The first verse said, set your hearts. Right? Set your hearts and your minds on things above, not on earthly things. What's driving you today? What's really motivating us today? When I'm talking to you, I'm talking to myself. What's my motivation? What gets me out of bed in the morning, yeah? Is it work? No, don't think so. We've all got to get out of bed and work, but is that really, I've got to go to work. No. What's the real thing that your heart is set on, that your mind is set on? There's nothing wrong with having plans. There's nothing wrong with getting organized, right? We just can't live our life in some sort of holy vacuum. God doesn't want us all to become monks and lock ourselves away. That was the traditional thing people thought to be holy. We just lock ourselves away from the world and we just live in some cocoon. No. We've got to live in this world. The Bible says we are in the world, but we're not of the world. We have to rub shoulders with the world. We have to be part of the world. We have to eat. We have to sleep. We have to work. Yeah, we have to provide for our families, we have to have somewhere to live, yeah? But with all those things that are happening, right, what's really controlling our hearts and our minds? What are we after? I've got to say personally, that for me it's been quite a difficult period. These last few years have been quite difficult. You see, I had my life all sorted out. About 5 or 6 years ago, everything was in order. It was all going to come together. I knew when I was going to retire. I knew when my mortgage was going to be finished. I knew this, and it was all in a nice little row. Until all of a sudden, bang, I lost my job overnight. Couldn't get another one. Was out of work for 6 months. Ended up in an ordinary job, and then another ordinary job. Salary went less than half it was before. Yeah. Just went down and down, and you think, what's going on here? I now find myself in a job, and I've got to be careful what I say in case anyone's listening to the podcast, but it's not the ideal job, but it's a job. Yeah. And God pulled me up quite strongly. When I was looking at verses in the Bible a few months ago, Lord, I was really crying, Lord, what are you doing here? What is the plan? And that well-known verse just came into my heart. I know the plans I have for you. Yeah, I know. Yeah, not what you know, what you think you know, but I know the plans I have for you. Yeah. Plans to give you a hope. Plans to give you a future. And then I was reading in Genesis, Genesis next, they talked about the children of Israel coming out, and it said this, it said, stand still, because I've got itchy feet. I'll do this, I'll do that, I'll do this, I'll do this. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Yeah. What have you set your mind on? What have you set your heart on? You see, I was getting myself all sort of thinking, my ducks have sort of gone down a hole. They're not in a row anymore. They're all off the radar. Where's God? He hasn't moved. He's just saying to me, stand still and see. And I don't know what circumstance you're facing. I know some here have faced different circumstances. It's great to have Andy Wales with us today. He never thought in a million years, I'm sure, he'd end up in hospital. Everything was coming together, his career, his studies and everything, and all of a sudden, bang, you get kicked in the teeth. Yeah? Where's God? Well, God is there. If we set our minds and hearts, and that's the thing. You see, my heart was after God, my mind was probably somewhere else. We've got to set our minds on Him. And that means dig in. And I've had to dig in. And sometimes we've got to dig in. Life is not easy sometimes. Circumstances come our way that we didn't want. We've got to dig in. Dig in. We're here to stay. Nothing's going to move us. We're in concrete. That's the beautiful thing. If you're in Jesus today, you're fixed in concrete. Nothing's going to move you. Set. Solid. Rock solid. In Him. And we can be confident today. I can't be confident in myself, but I can be confident in God. I can be confident that He knows the plans for my life. I can be confident that He has everything under control. Yeah? Remember last week Dave said, God's got everything under control. God's got everything. 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 Not one or two things. Everything under control. All I've got to do is trust Him, follow Him, trust and obey. So I'm confident in Him, a God who loves me, a God who cares for me, a God who's coming back again. And I can say it confidently because verse 3 says here, for you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. Yeah. I've died. Yeah. Died in Christ. Yeah, I'm still alive. You can still pinch me. Yeah. But the real me died, yeah? The old man is gone. I'm alive in Christ. Verse 5 says, Put to death, therefore, whatever. Whatever's getting in the way, put it to death. Whatever it is. Those things that it listed out, a list of sexual immorality, lust, greed, anger, malice, all those things, put to death. Kill it. Get rid of it. Bin it. Yeah? Whatever it is. It might rear its head up again. Smash it down again. That game, you see that game where you have the hammer and it keeps popping up and you have to go back it over the head. Yeah? It doesn't mean you're never ever going to have temptation. Yeah? We're all going to have temptation. We face it all the time. Only a few months ago, an advert came on the telly. Chris and I were watching the telly. It was before the watershed. An advert came on the telly and I was just in total shock and horror. I was almost embarrassed watching it in front of Chris. I'm not going to tell you what it was. But it absolutely just shocked me. It was so... Oof. It was just horrible. horrible. Sexual innuendo, totally unnecessary. And I jumped straight with pen and paper. Right. I think there was 1,200 people who actually wrote to the advertising agency about that advert. It was absolutely abhorrent as far as I was concerned. It shows what we allow to come into our homes before the watershed. Actually, just to let you know, that advert now cannot be shown on television until after 11 o'clock. But it can be shown on YouTube. Anyone can watch it. It's there and available. But I know that when I see things like that, right, it just shakes you. Not having it. Bang. Get rid. Put it down. Other things that may affect you, different things affect different people. Maybe it's overeating. That's greed. It's just as bad as watching pornography. Yeah? If it gets into your life and it causes problems. But we're human beings and God says you've got to kill it. And it's not easy. Maybe you need to get into a one-to-one with somebody. An accountability relationship. We've talked about this. Someone you can trust. Someone you can open your life to and say, look, I'm really struggling with this. Will you help me? Will you just send me a text every day, say, how are you getting on? Yeah? Or how have you managed this week? How's it been this week? And this isn't about scoring points off each other. This is about building each other up and helping each other. Because we all face these temptations all the time. Yeah? All of us. But we need to bash it again and again and again and finish it. Yeah? Whatever it is, put it to death. So how are you living now? How am I living now? I'm a living in the light. I should be. Because as I've already quoted that verse again, it says, we are chosen, holy. You are holy. The next time the devil says you're no good, you're rubbish, you can't do it, you've let yourself down, and it will happen. Because he loves it, yeah? When he says, oh, you made a mess of that, didn't you? Yeah? Somebody says to me, wait, there, you swore then. No, I didn't. Yeah, you did. I'm sure you did, I heard you. It's a miracle I don't, because everybody else is giving it loads and loads and loads. And if you're there, you know, you ever been with somebody, I've been in Welsh company, and you start sounding as if you're speaking Welsh. You ever tried it? You do. And you know, if you're getting this all around you all the time, is it any wonder something slips out? I'm doing my level best, but sometimes when the frustration gets there, yeah. But I'm holy. But yeah, you said, don't give me that one little thing. You're holy. The next time you trip up, don't let the enemy pull you down, because that's what he does. He put you off for a week. That's it. Finished. No more Bible. No, I'm not good enough. I'm messed up. No. Hang on. I'm holy. God, I'm clothed in your righteousness. That's what it says here. You're chosen. You're holy. You're dearly loved. You're loved. Next time you feel unloved, nobody cares. Nobody's interested in me. I'm all by myself. You are dearly loved. Who could be better to be loved by than Jesus? Yeah. Wow. Clothe yourself, it says. Clothe yourself. That means get rest, get rest, get get dressed. Get ready. Don't be wallowing in self-pity. Yeah? Yeah? We just and we just collapse into a mess. Yeah? Come on. Get dressed, get ready. We're on the victory side here. Get clothed, it says, with compassion. Doesn't it? Does your heart go out when you see a hurting world? Hope for justice. It's compassion. Does your heart go out with compassion? That word compassion, it comes from your bowels. Does it move your bowels when you see these things? Yeah? That's what it means. God was moved down here. Oh! Does it get you there? Or are you blasé? If you're blasé, guys, you need to get that compassion for a hurting world. Kindness. Let's be a bit kinder. Humility. Gentleness. Patience, one I really struggle with. I'm not patient. I'm not a patient person. Patience. You need to get hold of it. Bear with each other. Oof, that's hard work, isn't it? When somebody rubs you up the wrong way. When somebody, you know, bear with each other. Yeah? That doesn't mean taking clothes off with each other. It means... Stick at it when someone rubs you up the wrong way. Forgive. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. If someone's knocked you, yeah, at home or in a relationship, you know, forgive it. Let it go. Does it make any difference when you spilled something on the floor or broke a dish? Yeah? I'm always breaking dishes, and I always say the reason I break a lot of dishes is because I do more, pick up more dishes than anybody else. but I'm always breaking them, yeah? And I've done it often. I've broken the dish, and it doesn't matter where they are in the house. I heard something then. It's me with the brush and pan, you know. We've got loves, we haven't got any sets of dishes in our house. Yeah? Trying to cover it up. Forgive one another. Good job, Chris isn't here. Put on love. Let peace rule in your heart. Guys, is something wrecking you? Is something really upsetting you? Yeah. Peace is so important. A world that's just fraught with fear, anxiety, tension. Put on peace. Peace. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. What's giving you angst? Is it your job? Is it your future? Is it your family? Is it your health? Put on peace. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. Let God's peace flow over you. Don't get yourself anxious and worked up. It's not easy. I've had to keep telling myself, stand still. I know the plans I have for you. Not to harm you. But to have peace in God, knowing he's got all things in his hand, ready, together. Fear not, it says, and be thankful. Are you a thankful person? Or are you a moaner and a groaner? It's never, ever good enough. Be thankful. Cameron there was praying before for the suffering church. Guys, we've never had it so easy. We've never had it so easy. Guys, be thankful. Be a thankful person. You've got everything you want. If you haven't got it, it's available. You can get it. You don't need to go without. Be thankful, be thankful, be thankful. In everything it says, give thanks. Not in everything, moan and groan about your lot. In everything, give thanks. How are we going to do that? Well, verse 16 gives us the clue there. How are we going to do it? It says this. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Let the word of Christ dwell. Don't listen to what I say. Don't listen to what somebody else says. Let the word of Christ. That's the answer. God's word in you richly. Not loose change. Yeah? It doesn't say let the word of Christ dwell in you, you know, when you feel like it occasionally or just every now and again. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Are you reading God's word every day? Every day. Is it your first priority? I've said this a few times before, but I'm trying to make it my top priority that every day before I do anything else, before I switch the mobile on, get the Bible out, read the Bible. If it's difficult, like I'm on an early shift, then it's difficult maybe to do first thing, because I like a little bit, an extra 5 minutes in bed. But maybe I can listen to a CD on the way to work, yeah? Or I can do it when I come home. But whatever it is, maybe night time's best for you. Night time's no good for me, because the minute I pick the Bible up, I'm off. Yeah, if you can't sleep at night, read your Bible. It's the best thing ever. You'll be asleep in a few minutes, yeah? I don't know what suits you best, but whatever it is, guys, and I can't emphasize this enough, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. If you're not reading your Bible, then you're starving. You need to read God's word. Yeah, it doesn't matter a little bit, a lot, it doesn't matter, one verse will do, but get it into you. Then when you face those situations, hang on, what did God say about that? What does the Bible say about that? Yeah, I was struggling last week, who said about Habakkuk? I couldn't find Habakkuk, you know, because anyone else couldn't find Habakkuk, I was struggling. And we used to, I can sing the Bible, no problem. I can sing through the books, but where's Habakkuk? Is it Haggai? Is it Jonah? I couldn't find it, it was embarrassing. So I just opened my Bible like this, I've got it. I didn't really. But you know what I mean? Yeah? But do you know your Bible? It doesn't really matter if you don't know where the books are, although it's an idea if you could find out. But do you know your Bible? Do you know where it is? Do you know God's Word? Get into God's Word. Let it dwell in you richly. And then it talks about building each other up. Yeah? Do you know I need you to build me up? Yeah? I need you to build me up. Some of you, when you don't come to church, think, well, it doesn't really matter. Nobody will miss me. Guys, if you're not here, I'm desperately missing you. And I know we all can't be here every week. But guys, I need you. Yeah? You need me, believe it or not. You mightn't think you do, but you do. I need you. I need you to build me up. What's God saying to you? What God needs to say to me? We need each other to build each other up, to encourage each other. Because we all have struggles. We all have difficulties. We need each other. I need you. You need me. It says build each other up. That's why people come and share at the front. What's God said to you this week? And it doesn't have to be the same people every week. It blesses me when somebody very rarely comes to the front, comes out, got something to share because it's fresh. Yeah? That's why the notion is just nobody listens because it's every week on today again. Yeah? But if you bring something from God's heart, and I want those who share regularly, don't say, I'm going to stop. I don't mean that. I'm not asking people to stop sharing. But what I'm saying is, don't you think you haven't got anything to share? You have. You've got something you can give, because we're all going to build up the body of Christ. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Then it says, whatever you do, your job, your family, your leisure, your church, do it all in the name of Jesus. Yeah. It's Jesus, the centre of your mind. It's Jesus, the centre of your heart. He needs to be in everything. We can't compartmentalise him. One of our leaders we had years ago, Martin, who died tragically, said, you can't put God in a box. One of the last things he ever said in church, you can't put God in a box. But you know, we're great at putting God in a box. We've got lots of little boxes, we pick them out every time. Yeah. You don't fit in there, put you back in your box. Is God the centre of your life? In your job, in your home, in your family, in your leisure, whatever you're doing, in your relationships. Is your relationship clean and pure? Sexual immorality, let it go. If you're sleeping together, stop it. No sex before marriage, that's what the Bible says. Stop it. Don't do it. Let it go. It's hard. It's tough. The pressure on people today to conform to what everybody else is doing. Foul language. What's your mouth like? If you're a Christian today and you're not swearing, I think you'll stand out like a sore thumb. I reckon I can be with somebody for about 30 seconds and let you know where they are. Yeah? Because it just trots out like the news. Watch your tongue. It's important. I wasn't going to say that, but it's there. Are we living heavenly lives? Are you living those holy lives? If Jesus was alongside you in everything you're doing, if Jesus was alongside you in everything you're watching, Jesus was alongside you everywhere you go, if Jesus was alongside you in every conversation, would you be comfortable? Are we living heavenly lives? Are we ready for a quick transition? When Jesus comes, it's going to be bang. Are you ready for a quick transition? Or hang on, whoa, not ready for that. Give me a week. Too late. Are we ready? So that when Jesus comes, it's no big shock. We're ready. Come on, bring it on. Are we anticipating his imminent return? Imminent return. The Bible says he's coming as a thief in the night. Didn't see that coming. We had our house broken into once when we were away. Didn't see that coming. Yeah. When was the last time you had a message from a thief? I'm coming round to your house. I'll be there a week on Wednesday. Make sure everything's ready for me. I'll be there. Anyone? No. Doesn't happen. Because thieves don't tell you they're coming. Like that in a thief in the night. And that's Jesus coming when we least expect it. Be prepared. Prepared. That means in advance. Get ready. Are you settled here? Well, I like it. I like my family. I love my family. I love being with my family. I love life. I enjoy life. But I don't want to get too settled. We used to sing a song years ago, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasure's all laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Don't sing it, Brian. Bible tells about Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife? Yeah? Sodom and Gomorrah? Or freedom? Oh, hang on. Ooh. She looked back. All the junk in Sodom and Gomorrah. What are we going to be like when Jesus... Hang on a minute. Whoa, hang on. I've finished that. Too late. Guys, where are you focused? Where are you looking? We need to look forward. Look forward, because heaven's got so many great things. No pain. No trips to the hospital. No sickness, no tears, no fears. It says, in the twinkling of an eye, we shall all be changed, and we shall be like him. We're going to be like Jesus. I can't get it into my head. I'm going to be like Jesus, can you? The vast difference between us. But he's my saviour, my friend, and my Lord. The closer friend who sticks closer than the brother. And we will be forever with the Lord. Are we ready? Are we set? Go. Let's pray for a moment. I don't know where you are today, guys. I hope every single one of you, if Jesus came back right now, will you be ready? The Bible says some are going to be taken, others are going to be left behind. Are we living those lives that make a difference? don't live in a bubble and think, I just want to be holy, and we need to reach to our community, we need to reach to our workmates. I've had some fantastic conversations with workmates, that's why I know I'm in the right place, because so many things have opened up with people. Have they opened up for you to get other people to be ready? If you're not ready, make yourself ready right now. If you're not set, if you're not anticipating his return, then start thinking about it. Start getting things in place. It doesn't mean you have to sell everything. It doesn't mean you have to just do something stupid. What it means is they'll get your focus right. What really matters? What's going to make a difference? Where's your heart? Where's your mind?